The epistle appointed to be read for this, the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, I recall to your minds the gospel that I preached to you, which also you received, wherein also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold it fast, as I preached it to you, unless you have believed to no purpose. For I delivered to you first of all what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and after that to the 11. Then he was seen by more than 500 brethren at one time, many of whom are still with us, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and last of all, as by one born out of due time, he was seen also by me. For I am the least of the apostles, and I am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace in me has not been fruitless. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Mark. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus, departing from the district of Tyre, came by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the district of Decapolis. And they brought to him one deaf and dumb, and entreated him to lay his hand upon him. And taking him aside from the crowd, he put his fingers into the man's ears, and spitting he touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven he sighed, and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be thou opened. And his ears were at once opened, and the bond of his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak correctly. And he charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, so much the more did they continue to publish it. And so much the more did they wonder, saying, he has done all things well. He has made both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, I draw your attention this morning to, there will be catechism class this morning. And that this today, first of all, I bring your attention, is the Feast of St. Ignatius, and Thursday of this week is the Feast of St. Dominic, and we will refer to them in just a few minutes, most probably. I think that is all that needs to be pointed out from the bulletin to you this morning. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, as I have indicated to you already, we are beginning a series this morning in our bulletins, and the series is going to be dedicated to the thoughts of love. How much we have spoken of love, and to the point that it seems to be a bit ridiculous and too much, and that we feel awkward when love is being discussed. But the very first thing that comes to our notice in today's bulletin at the very top of the page, and let this be very well ingrained in our minds concerning that which we are taking up to study now for the next, I don't know how long. For those who want to believe, no argument is necessary. For those who do not want to believe, no argument is possible. And there you have it. My beloved people, we have indicated over and over again, and we have described over and over again the quagmire that we are all forced in these our days to walk in. And I know how difficult it is for us to keep our minds focused on what we're supposed to be doing. From the very beginning, God said to Adam and Eve in the garden, I am the Lord God. There are no others beside me. I am the Lord God. And almost immediately after that was said, man began to show unrest, dissatisfaction. He wanted something else. And so from then on to our present moment, we find man worshiping this, that, and the other. Always trying to find a God that was going to give him everything he wanted and still be kept acceptable. And he started inventing all kinds of things out of gold and silver and stone and wood and wherever. And God came down by way of his prophets, of course. He came down and he kept warning the people and kept warning and telling the people over and over and over, no, that is not the way. I am your God. There is no other. And the people would come back momentarily and turn right around and go back to their golden calves and things. And punishment came to these people, and it stayed with them. Only a handful of these people kept straight their belief and their and kept their obligation in focus. Today, God is again saying, I am your God. There is no other but me. I made you. You are obliged to serve me. That is why I put you where you are. That is your purpose. You must serve me. I had no other reason for making you other than for you to serve me and to give me all of your love, all of your affection, all of your belief, all of your adoration. Selfish? Not at all. If that's what he had in mind when he made me, and if that's what he had in mind for the reason he made me, and he had no other reason, then I must fulfill that reason. If I go out and invent a typewriter, for the purpose of being able to duplicate and to put on paper what's in my head, and I've struggled, and the only purpose of that typewriter is to record what's in my head, but somehow or other, it doesn't function that way. It doesn't record what's in my head. Therefore, what is the only logical thing for me to do? That is, I must scrap the typewriter because it is not doing what I built it for. So it is with us. And there comes in purpose. We have a purpose. And that purpose has to be fulfilled. We have to do that which we were put here for. And if we fail in that, then we too, like the typewriter, will be scrapped. And God cannot be faulted for that, can he? But today, we have probably hit the peak of the words that were first spoken in the garden. I will make you as gods. And you shall know the difference between good and evil. And today we have reached the peak. I don't think we can go any higher. Today we have indeed worshiped the very words that were uttered to us, because I was made like God in that I know the difference between good and evil. I, therefore, am not like God. I am God. That's where we are. How much worse than that can we get? I don't know. I really don't know. I'm at a loss at that point. My beloved people, we were made for one reason. And that is to serve God. And as we look around us, can we imagine, let our imagination go a little freely. Like an ocean that is flooding, like a river that is overflowing its banks and flooding down the way, destroying everything in its path, like a river, a raging river, a flood of souls every day who have not fulfilled purpose. And every day the flood continues of souls going straight to hell. And the craziest part of it all is, rather cheerfully going to hell. Little do they know. I know the temptation comes to you to think that I here, being a monastic, am trying to make monastics out of all of you. Not so. That is out of the question. You're not monastics. You weren't called to be monastics. That does not make you second rate. You simply were not called to be a monastic. Those of you that are married, you married this person and not this person. Does that mean that you dislike this person over here? Not at all. It simply means that you liked this person more than you liked this person. You were called to this person. You were called to the married life. And that is good. That is a blessing. But purpose continues even in the married life. What is your purpose for being here? And that has to be and continues to be service of Almighty God in the way best suited according to the way He asks for this service. It is not up to me, it is not up to us to concoct our own way of service. That's the way the golden calves came to be. These people concocted that which they considered suitable for them. They wanted to eat the cake, to use the expression, and keep it at the same time. And that, my beloved people, we know is not possible. To love God as we should is actually the easiest thing that we can think of. But we ourselves, in our ignorance, have turned it into something that is very difficult. Yes, we have to carry a cross. There is no man alive, no one alive, who does not have a cross to carry. That cross was placed upon his and her shoulders by God Himself. And I think that one cross is enough. If we love that cross and accept that cross, that will be the only cross we will have to carry. And as I said, that will be quite enough. But if I hate that cross, despise it, criticize it, be filled with anger within me, seething with anger and with hate and with disrespect and with whatever else goes with anger. If I have that in my heart, in my soul, in my mind, in my being, in everything in me, I hate that cross that I have to carry. It shouldn't be this way. It should be quite different. There's more to life than what I have to put up with. There's more that I should be able to enjoy. I was not put here for this kind of stuff. I hate that cross. That's our privilege. It certainly is. I can certainly hate it all I want to. But when I do, let me not complain if I then don't have two crosses to carry. One that was given to me by God, and the other that was given to me by my sweet, lovely, angered, contemptible self. I did it. I built that cross. I carved it. I painted it. I did everything to make it just what I wanted. And it had every glow coat of hate and envy and contempt that I could possibly find at the store to paint it with. I made that second cross. So, since I made it, the only reasonable thing to assume is perhaps I ought to love it. Perhaps. It's as simple as that, I think. To love God, that's my purpose. I have no other. And everything I do, no matter what it is, must be for Him. Me must be out of it. And to the extent that I keep me in what I'm doing, to that extent is God out of it. Both God and me cannot exist in purpose. It just is not possible, my beloved people. And so we have to think in terms of who do I serve. It's not easy for those who do not understand. Our prayer also must be, my God, I do believe. Help me in my unbelief. Around and about us, we see everything that is not supposed to be there. We realize it's not there. All of us. Who is it that has not complained about the condition of things? The world is falling apart. The world this, man this. I can't walk down the street. There's hatred, there's killing, there's this, there's that. As I said last Sunday, it seems that almost every Sunday now, we have to pray for a group of people that has been killed through the hatred of somebody, somewhere in the world. That's where we are. And in the worship of self, as I worship me, and anyone who contradicts me has to pay the price. I will go out and kill him. God says no. I am the Lord your God. there is none other but me, and you must serve me. That's why we're here. Do not come here. We've been told this how many, many, many times. We do not come here or any other place similar to this because of a ceremony. If ceremony is what we're looking for, you're looking at the greatest movie director in the world. Because I love a ceremony. And when I set out to put out a ceremony, believe me, brothers and sisters, I'll put out a ceremony. One you won't forget. That's not why I'm here. And that's not why you're here. And therefore, it is because I believe, and because I do believe, no argument should be necessary. All we have to do is so simple, is to simply keep reminding ourselves, to remind God and His Blessed Mother that we do love them. And because we do love them, life, that cross we have to carry, they will help us carry it. Will we be relieved of temptation? Oh, how I wish that were true. How I wish that were true. In the very final words of this morning's epistle by St. Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace in me has not been fruitless. It is the grace of God that has operated in you and me, that has given you a faith which is the answer to everything. That faith gives purpose to everything we do. We do not have to go out and burst open the doors and preach from the housetops. Though today, with our instrument of torture, we do preach from the housetops. And there is so much concocted devilishness that we can't find space to put it. It takes the whole wild, wide blue yonder to carry it in this so-called thing we call the internet. It carries with it every bit of stench that has ever been, whatever the word I'm looking for is, been in the world before. Nothing has ever equaled it. So therefore, let us be consistent. Let us look to God for everything that comes to us. No, we don't go out and preach from the housetops. If we could just understand one simple thing, and I will quit. If I love God, as He intends for me to love Him, I can do more in the privacy of my little room, on my knees, and say one Hail Mary. What does it take, beloved people, to impress upon our minds the awesome power that's in my hand and in your hand to do just that? It doesn't take an army of hundreds of thousands of people and soldiers and foot soldiers and cavalry and whatever it takes to fight a war. It doesn't take, what has that done for all of us but spread more and more and more hate, suspicion, and everything else that goes with it? One Hail Mary coming from your mouths, coming from your heart, rather, your hearts. One Hail Mary is enough to overcome evil. You don't believe that? Try it. But you've got to love. I know particularly for the manpower, the use of the word love is awkward. I know that. But you're going to get used to it. I promise you. You will, and you will see it, because that's all we're here for. Love. I am the Lord your God. There is no other God but me. I want all of your love, all of it. And how much is that? I want it with all of your mind, and all of your soul, and all of your heart, and all of your being. I want all of it. And to the extent that I keep some of it, be it ever so tiny, to that tiny extent, is He squeezed out. That's where we are. And it is the most manly thing on earth to say that. Look at St. Paul himself, whom we quoted this morning. They say he was a short, dumpy sort of a fella. I don't know. Maybe he was. Maybe been tall and skinny for all I know. Doesn't make any difference. But look at the strength of that man. Look at his tremendous strength. And he was on his way to devilment. And a lot of devilment. God said no. And a flash of light knocked him off of his horse into blindness. And everything, every error that he had been guilty of and in the past was corrected. And where was it corrected? The only place where error can be corrected. Inside of him. And that's where it has to be corrected today. Inside of you and me and all of us who do believe, my beloved people.